Okay. The session calls. Okay, welcome to the last morning session of ICMC. This is open source crypto work. Our first speaker is Thomas Gustafson. I have a specific, and it's not turned on, is it? Oh, it is. I have a specific announcement, not a general one. Is Kelvin or Barry Fussell here? Okay, this session may end half an hour early, just to let you know. All right, so Thomas, I like his title. I'll let him do his own introduction, and we will, you know, hopefully have time to take questions, and thank you for coming. Thomas.
Okay, thank you. I hope I'm close enough to the mic. So, back in 2011 and 12, when me and Mike and the rest of the team was doing our first Common Criteria certification, we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into, and we didn't really know what we had to do, and we didn't really know, say, how this thing would be accepted on the market and how it would react. So still, now, 6 years later, we're doing a new Common Criteria certification, and that's what this is going to be about. So first, some general assumptions. So being a professional crowd, I assume general knowledge about certification process, specifically protection profiles, etc., when it's related to common criteria. And I want to state that in common criteria, you have this sponsor, developer, lab, and certification body participants, and this is the experience of the developer. So we develop the product, we, you know, sell or have the product out on the market. So experience of the lab and certification body are, I say, by nature, a little bit different since they have different roles. So this is our experience. So the thing we have certified is EGBCA, which is a certificate authority software. So it's a piece of software that is used to, you know, issue, revoke, manage certificates, and it's run by, you know, public CAs, large organization, governments to operate their certificate authority services. So we do the technology, they provide the service. Billions of certificates have been issued with our software. It's open source, so every time one gets access to source code. And of course, being open source, we are also a bit fanatic about open standards and agility and such. And the interesting thing here is that it's Common Criteria certified. And what are the relevant audits and certifications for a certificate authority piece of software? Well, just coming back to that a little bit later, there's, at least by users, a little bit confusion about the what's the difference between an audit and a certification. But the relevant ones are, there's Web Trust or CAB Forum for public CAs. They all have to do a Web Trust audit, or either a Web Trust audit or an eIDAS ETSI audit. So eIDAS, it's the European regulation for digital signatures, and they have an auditing schemes for certificate authorities that issue qualified certificates used for digital signatures in Europe. They have to undergo an eIDAS audit. And for on the certification side, or the software, you do a Common Criteria certification, and on the crypto side, hardware security module side, it's a FIPS that is there. Predominant and the relevant one. Although EU is working on a protection profile for common criteria certification of hardware security modules, I would say the globally recognized one currently is not a FIPS, as we all know it and love it. It is used. The certification we have done has been used quite a lot in practice. We didn't really know how it would be used before, but there's a lot of public tenders worldwide that have, you know, checkbox requirements for common criteria certification. It can be for an EID project in Philippines, it can be in Vietnam, it can be in Europe, etc. So especially in Europe, there are some countries that have digital signature laws that mandates certain common criteria certifications. Doesn't have necessarily have to be the same that we are doing, but it certainly helps to have a generic one. And then related to audits again, for eIDAS, ETSI, or Web Trust audits, they don't require that the software has a Common Criteria certification, but it certainly helps in the audit process because some of the technical requirements of the audit standards can be kind of easily checked off once if you have a Communicator certification to show the documentation about. And of course, for PrimeKey and AGBC as a product, marketing and brand, it's a good thing to have a Communicator certification for sure. And on to our Communicator certification and the first kind of rift. In 2012, we did our first Communicator certification. It was based on a protection profile. So a good thing about certificate authority software is that it has always, or at least for the last 10 years, been available protection profiles, which makes certification relevant. So back then, there was a protection profile, or there is still, called Certificate Issuance and Management Components, CIMC, issued by NIST. It's an EAL-based certification. EAL 4+ is what we did, and we certified a couple of things. Now in 2018, we come and we realize we need to do a recertification, or we have thought about that for a couple of years, but now we have actually started it. And then it turns out now there are two kind of competing fractions within Communicator. One is we could have gone with the same actual protection profile that we did last time, which by now is 7 years old or so. Well known, so to say, trusted, we could reuse a lot of our old documentation, familiar, more leaning on the European side. But they have also started this non-EAL-based certifications, which is brand new. There's a protection profile that is really spanking new, issued by NIAP. Protection profile for certification authorities. Can't sound much better than that if you're doing a certification authority software. Of course, this is a different kind of certification, so there's a lot of unknowns for us when we do it. We don't really know what to expect. We have to kind of start afresh, even if we can reuse some of the stuff we have done. There will be no EAL level on this certification. And so we were really scratching our heads and going back and forth, which one should we choose? Should we, let's go for the old one that we know what to do. Oh, let's go for the new one. I mean, it's newer, it's gotta be better. So finally, we choose to go with the new one because it's new. And actually the approach to this certification seems, in our opinion, so far, even though we haven't completed the certification, sounds like it's more, say, beneficial for the product, actually. So it's going to be good for us, or the product, to do it. And it also has some benefits on the U.S. market, since we're also present in the U.S. to have a NIAP-approved protection profile to get on the PCL list and things like that. So then we're going to jump into, in our experience, what works with Communicator and what doesn't work. So to start with, always the positive news. I've read that. You should always start with the good things because that's what you should remember. One thing that actually was good for us, that we think we're good with a Communicator certification, was the development process. So there was quite some emphasis on the development process, and we incorporated this into our development processes to actually improve our development process and be able to show, so to say, that we have a robust, relatively secure development process, which to some level assures the integrity of the source code and the product we can deliver to customers. And customers ask for this. How do you take care so you don't get any malicious code into your products, etc., when we install them? Second thing, which is good, is a protection profile. Protection profiles, the ones for certification authorities, are quite complex. They're large, among the larger protection profiles, but they define quite a good set of functionality that is expected from this type of product, and specifically audit logging. So you have a quite well-defined audit logging of all security functions that are performed in the product, and it's good when you discuss with users because they will ask questions about the audit logging in particular, because all audit standards will, you know, check audit logs, etc. So you have a really good documentation and basis for discussing the audit log and why you audit log certain things and why you don't audit log other things. So in general, we think that our Comacatera certification actually improved the quality both of our processes and our EGBC as a product. And to go in open source part, we found out quite quickly that, you know, open source is quite okay. First, we had a bit some doubts that we would end up in big problems trying to Comacatera certify an open source product. But it turns out open is okay. We had to do some things, so it could be clear that Comacatera, you can't just take any open source project probably and do a Comacatera certification. We had to change in particular two things. One was related to the development process and kind of control over the developers. So we had everyone who needs commit access to the source code repository. We need to have a contract and a responsibility policy signed, so this access control strict, so we can show during an audit, you know, who have had access to the to commit at all times, etc. So that was one thing. So if you have a lot of kind of unknown committers, that's going to be a problem. But we could solve that, because being also a security product or a security project, there's not a, you know, a huge array of committers out there who actually work on code like this. The other thing we had to change was the source code repository. Back then we were using SourceForge, which back then was the largest open source code repository. Nowadays it's GitHub, probably. But anyhow, and doing an EAL-based certification, we actually had to prove control, physical control, quite stringent control over the source code repository, so we could, you know, prove that we control it, we can see that there's, you know, nothing bad coming in, etc. So we had moved it off from SourceForge into our own hosting, so now we have our own servers and things. Also, especially for an EAL4-based certification, they do a site visit and check your server room and things like that, that you have physical controls in place. But apart from these things, we took some time to handle. Then after that, it's no problem with open source. You know, having public read access to the source code repository as well is no problem. We have that. It's only committers, actually, to put things in there. And on to what is broken with the Comacatera. The first thing which is really broken, I think, is the impact assessment. So once you get a Comacatera certificate, you have the exact version which was submitted for testing on the certificate. And there is a process to update this in Comacatera, which based on impact assessment, you list what changes have done, you can submit it, they should review it. But you cannot do any security fixes. And in a complex piece of software during a period of 1 or 2 years, how many, say, relevant softwares do you know that doesn't make any security improvements, hardening, fixes, etc.? Probably close to zero. So you can't get an updated certificate. So in my opinion, that makes that process broken. The other thing is the environment. You actually specify which environment the software runs on, if it's Red Hat or Windows, what hardware security module you're using, is it Thales or SafeNet. So in our kind of folly, the first time we used two environments to be able to show, well, we have Comacatera certified both on the Linux platform and the Windows platform, etc. But in reality, nobody cares about the environment. You know, the users know they have their platforms, they have their HSMs. They don't care what you were running on when testing it for Comacatera. They just care about your software, and the rest they know how to handle. So that was kind of a waste of time. The next time we'll definitely go for just a minimal environment, because. And one of the largest things is user understanding of Comacatera as such. So there's both, we hear a lot from users, two things. One is that they confuse an audit with the audit standard with a product certification. So they will ask, I hope that your next Convocatier certificate will be against the ADAS standard. No, it will not. That's a completely different thing. You know, ADAS audit will take into consider your personnel controls, your physical environment. There will be some technical features, but it is totally unrelated, basically. The second thing is that users, not all of them, but many users and even auditors actually, will look at a version that is printed on your certificate and say, that's the version we want to run, because we think that this Convocatier certificate means that this is perfect security in this version, and all versions that you have released after that are worse, which is, of course, the contrary. All the releases we have done afterwards are more secure, better in every way, so you should use the latest version, but they insist, kind of. And in many cases, they are being forced to upgrade to some version a little bit later in order to, you know, fix, in order to be able to operate their system. So that is probably the most frequent educational effort we have to do to customers. Common criteria is inherently a very waterfall process. It doesn't really go hand in hand with, you know, modern software development, which is quite agile. It's at least for this type of complex product, it happens a lot. Quick development, issues all the time, etc. So that makes the Convocatier certification process totally a separate process from your development process. It would definitely be nicer if they could be a little bit more integrated, so you don't have to run the Convocatier as a completely separate project. And especially an EAL-based certification will produce a lot of unused work artifacts. We'll see an example. But you spend a couple of man months producing accurate documentations, which then just sits on your file server and never read. Nobody ever looks at it. They just used for the certification process, which is an administrative exercise, so to say, and then never used, which, of course, gives kind of a higher cost than necessary. Especially in a kind of specialized field as this, if you have a high cost of certification, you won't be able to afford, you may be able to afford doing it often, but customers will not want to pay the price of doing it often. And that's kind of related to, you know, unused work, waterfall process, things like that. So here's an example of the documentation produced for our first Convocatier certification. There are the two highlighted documents are the only two that we have used ever since during the last 6 years. The security target, yes, you submit that to users who actually require a Convocatier certification. They may look at it, may not. And then it's the lifecycle support where users ask for, and that's the lifecycle support is the documentation of the development process, which tries to explain how the development process is secure, there's reviews, and it tries to explain why newer versions are more secure and better than the older versions, because you have a relatively good development process. So those are the documents that we have sent to users regularly. The rest, more or less, just sits there for administrative purposes. Just a snapshot of, you know, the code base to see there's why a kind of update of a certification is hard. I mean, as for a couple of days ago, we had more than 6,800 issues created in our issue tracker, which means there are new issues created every day. So there are new things done every day. So an impact assessment after 1 or 2 years, that's, you know, a lot. And a short summary of what's good or bad, or how it affected the EGBC as a open source project and as a product. Open source, fine, no problem. We had slightly slower development per issue, let's say, in the product. On the other hand, this, I would say, it also led to slightly higher quality per issue, less regressions, with a more thorough development process. The well-defined and tested audit log has been a benefit both for, you know, us and for a benefit for users of the product and hence for us as well. The development process, trustworthiness of the product, and some reusable documentation, which was what I showed you on the previous slide, basically. Now, the new certification, which is a totally different type, the non-EAL-based certification based on new protection profile from NIA. So as we have started this, we found out that it's more test-focused and documentation-focused, so we will not have to create a lot of documentation that just sits there and are unused. Very lightweight, so it's it focuses on the security functions and testing rigorously the security functions that should be in the product. So we have to create a security target still, a test specification, which is much more thorough than before, and there has to be some mapping between security function requirements and security function. That's, I guess, one paper exercise that we, or the lab, will not have to get away with. We do have some fears, or I have some fears. One is that the new certification will not put almost any emphasis on the development process. So, of course, for us, we will continue with our decent, I would say, development process that tries to, and you know, keep our protocol record about the integrity of all releases historically and continue with that. But for the new products, etc., or a new company doing certifications, only this, there's no, for it, from a user perspective, this common criteria process will not give any, I'd say, assurance about how the developer handles these questions. I mean, if it's a very mature company, yeah, there's going to be a lot of processes and you can get a lot of documentation. If it's more startup, then probably the processes are less rigorous and maybe less mature. So the common criteria will not give any guidance on this part. And then I have a spelling error, but tough testing. So the testing part of this new certification will be, to our understanding, a lot more. There was testing in the old certification or EAL based as well, but this one is going to be a lot harder. So, and there's a quote from earlier this week, there are always gaps. So even though we think our product, I mean EGBCA, is perfect, it's we think that they will find some things that are not that we have to develop. I wanted to bring up slightly the relationship between, you know, audit standards and the common criteria and FIPS, because the audit standards like ADAS and WebTrust, they all they relate to the whole installed system. They usually reference directly to FIPS, for example, that the FIPS certified hardware security module must be used, so there's no kind of confusion between ADAS or WebTrust and FIPS, but they don't reference for common criteria for the software. So that's how the confusion comes in, because people think that the common criteria certification of the software also makes the whole system ADAS or WebTrust certified. So that's not it, but this is kind of a relationship. And finally, so we use one thing that there's a lot of talk here and this week about you know, FIPS and crypto algorithm validation and module validation, but there's a lot of at least users out there that can't use FIPS or they don't want to use FIPS because it's not you know, relevant. Maybe you want to use different elliptic curves, etc., or other algorithms or key lengths that are not allowed in FIPS. So then you need to have a way to, you know, operate both software and hardware in kind of FIPS mode or non-FIPS mode. And that's the good thing with Bouncy Castle is that they have a FIPS certified version and the non-FIPS. So we usually use the non-FIPS for rapid development and you know, supporting everything that our users want to use. But there's the ability to switch into a FIPS provider if when that user, when it's a specific government user that requires that. And it's also related to HSM, so I see some similarities related to the certification processes also with FIPS, because we have recently seen a lot of issues related to FIPS mode and HSMs. So these are just three ones that actually breaks existing software. You get a new firmware release of a hardware security module and all the existing software can't work with this. So it can be, usually it would be treated as a bug. But then if a hard HSM vendor wants to fix something and before they can get, you know, a fix out and get the FIPS certified, it takes 6 to 12 months, which means the customer who has an auditor says you have to use the FIPS certified version, he have kind of two choices. Either he goes back to use the previous version where things work with might have vulnerabilities, or he delays the project for, you know, 1 year, or he tries to convince the auditor that he doesn't have to run the FIPS, the hardware security module in FIPS mode. So that's also, this process is very heavy both on the Comcartier side and the FIPS side. That brings me to a conclusion, which is in general, we have quite good experience of Common Criteria, and that's why we're doing it again. We think there's a, it's an improvement with the new lightweight process with the protection profile-based certifications, but there's fear that we should, Common Criteria shouldn't miss out on the development process and code integrity. Impact assessment, useless, and the biggest help for us as a developer and the user, I think, would be to make it easier to understand for users. I mean, Common Criteria should have an FAQ for the end user, not only for the lab or the certification body and the developer, but actually, so instead of the end user asks us and doesn't trust our answer, we could point to, you know, Common Criteria portal and say, well, here's an FAQ for the end user, how you should work with Common Criteria. So we don't have to answer this question, you know, which we have to use this certified version, which now is 4 years old in our system. That should be kind of a given. And that was it. So if you have any questions, feel free.
We have a minute or two if anyone has a question. Okay, please join me in thanking Tomas. Very evaluation. Yeah, this is good. Intro. Okay. Oh, that's not it.
Yeah.
Oh, there is it? Oops. Oh, I just closed the wrong window. Your name more quickly.